All right.
Meeting will be called to order. Roll call, please.
Congressman Big Horse? Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congressman Maker? Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Well, you can't, when you leave, we lose the quorum. All right, we declare quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue our work today, please give us kind hearts, strong minds, and do the will of people. Be with those that are in mourning, those who are sick, our children, and our servicemen and women overseas. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We have some minutes from this morning. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of April 10th, IFS. Move to approve the minutes of April 10th, IFS, as presented.
Second.
Motion by Congresswoman Whitehorn, second by Congressman Potts. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Without objection, I'm going to move item 7 and 8 down to the bottom of the agenda because we have people here for other bills, and I don't want to make them sit here till 6:30 at night. Next item on the agenda is Congressional Editorial Board nominations. Are there any nominations? So I'm looking to hear from the committee with respect or other members of Congress with respect to nominations. Once I know who the nominations are, if they haven't been sent out a packet and returned it, then I will send them out, and then we have a meeting next week to review the packets from the people that have been nominated. So I have two nominations. My first nomination is Louise Redcorn. I don't know if I need a second. Do I need a second on a nomination? Okay.
Second.
All right, so Louise Redcorn has been nominated and second to the editorial board as the legislative representative, and I will get a packet from her. My second nomination is Ruby Murray. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Does anyone else have a nomination for someone on the editorial board? Speaker Walker?
I nominate Luke King.
Luke King has been nominated. Is there a second? Second by Congresswoman Pratt. Okay, point of order, the assistant, The Speaker, we need someone. Would you make the motion on behalf of the Speaker for Lou King? Because I'm being told it's because you're not on the committee, you cannot make a, that you cannot make that nomination.
That's a new thing we just learned this week, right? Well, it's an old thing we weren't following, I guess.
Right.
It's a new thing to us that we have in the past, you could, anyone in the room can make a nomination, and then, but you have to be on the committee to second. That's not it right now. It's, you can't even make a motion unless you're on the committee.
It's supposed to be for second. My understanding was that we are only taking nominations for amendments from the floor. Do you want to make the nomination for Lou King, please?
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. So I've never seen this done like this before. Is this in, how is this being handled? Because what happens next?
I just said that we're going to get the nominations, and if we have their packet, we're going to consider their packet.
Well, obviously I didn't hear you, so I'm just...
If we don't have their packet, then I'm going to ask for a packet, and then we have another meeting set where this committee is going to consider and make recommendations concerning the nomination and report to the Congress. And I think the meeting is set for next Tuesday. Is that when it is? Next Tuesday. So between now and next Tuesday, we will get the packets from anybody that's nominated, and then we'll go over them in committee next Tuesday. Is anyone, will someone please make the nomination that the Speaker would like to make?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for Lou King. Speaker Walker, you've contacted her and we're working to get her packet, is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, I haven't been able to get a hold of Ruby Murray, but I've written her and texted her, so I hope that I can hear from her. Is there any other nominations? Seeing none, Congressman Walker?
I don't recall how Lou King was chosen before. I don't remember the process in which. I don't remember the committee actually reviewing or going over, I don't want to say competing nominations, but... prior to the session, I indicated that I would like to see, or I intended to bring forth Lou King as a potential appointee for the Congress, and asked for input. I had some verbal input. A few names were mentioned, so I sent out an email and requested members of Congress to bring forth any potential nominations. It seemed to me that it would only be fair that if different members of Congress had different suggestions or appointees that they wanted to bring forth, they could ask for the questionnaires to be submitted, and it falls within this committee's jurisdiction. And it was my hope that this committee would go through the questionnaires and choose an appointee by this committee and then recommend it to Congress. And if that confirmation process fails, then they would come up with a secondary appointee. That seemed fair to me.
Okay. Thank you for that information. All right. So as indicated, we'll get the questionnaire. I have sent the questionnaire to Louise Redcorn, and I will send the questionnaire to Ruby Murray. I think I have sent the questionnaire to Ruby Murray. You have sent the questionnaire to Lou King.
It was forwarded to somebody yesterday that informed me that they would get it to Lou King.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't have her email.
Okay. We actually do have her email, though. Anyway.
It's been done.
By next Tuesday, this is on the agenda. Okay? All right. Next item on the agenda, again, I'm going to skip to consideration of ONCA 1912 without objection, an act to establish a fund for home loan and down payment assistance for first-time home buyers to all members of the Osage Nation, and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. Yield the chair to Congresswoman Whitehorn, if she would take that.
Thank you. We are on
item number 11.
Item number 11. The title's already been read. Congresswoman Edwards is the sponsor. We've discussed this bill once before, maybe twice before. You have the floor, Congresswoman.
Yes, we've discussed it, I think, three times. I think it's been heard in three meetings. We do have representatives from housing here again, and I appreciate that. As indicated, I've met with them. They provided us information. Some more support documentation for today is before you at 19-228, which reflects applicants waiting for projects due to funds being depleted, so they're on a waiting list. And Mr. Freeman, is the ONHAP project that we have for people that are waiting? Actually, you probably ought to come up to the table if you would, please, because we don't have a microphone back there. Why don't you want to both come up? Right. We have microphones for them. There's one.
They've got two.
Oh, okay. You want to hand that to Mr. Will you hand that to Mr. Freeman, please? Mr. Freeman, are those folks for the homeowner assistance program?
Yes, they are.
So do you guys have a copy of that document? So I've provided that information to the budget analyst. And so how much money was dedicated to the housing down payment assistance for this year? I think, was it $60,000? $40,000?
Yes, $40,000. That's correct. Yeah, $40,000.
And one applicant from outside of the reservation area in Oklahoma. And
that's
based
correct.
On that, it doesn't look like there was anybody else on the waiting list from outside of the...
No, there wasn't.
Okay. So I'll be utilizing some statistics. They've given us some demographics on who most people that are applying for it are in a certain age demographic. So I ask the membership office, or ask the budget analyst to ask the membership office to get us some demographics. But frankly, I think you were operating on a first come, first serve basis.
That's correct also, yes.
So I don't know why there would be any reason not to do that going forward. And that might dictate the time of year somebody buys a house, but I guess they can get their application in early. And then it's just a factor of how much money is appropriated for this program. So based on what you're seeing there, there was about 9 applicants that weren't able to be.
Yeah, well these applicants are for rehabilitation assistance portion of the ONHAP grant.
Okay. So how many people applied for down payment assistance that didn't get served?
To my knowledge, it's been none, right? We've served everybody.
We have served everyone. However, we close that portion. When we exhaust our funding, we close that program down. And okay. So we alert via the webpage and then whoever calls in. As you're probably familiar with, to apply for a home and us not get funding for 6 months doesn't really make sense. Also, our applications are only valid for 3 months. That's in the case that we would need to update the income information or the household composition would change. So we put a 3-month time period that application is valid.
There was an amendment yesterday that this bill would become effective in October, so it would give you between now and October to create whatever rules and regulations you want to create, that you feel you need to create. Is that should be sufficient time? That's.
I think that
6 months.
Yeah. Well, we do have some concerns on this, though. I discussed with you the inspection factor. Right now, you know, with us just expanding within the state of Oklahoma, we've got a travel radius, and if it's outside that radius, we just require the realtor or lender to submit pictures of the home that to be purchased, and we will be assisting them with. But we're experiencing some current problems with that. You know, we just kind of need some more time to see how well this we're going to be able to implement this, even this portion of the expansion of services on this program. We, you know, right now we're requesting you know, photographs of the home and everything from the realtor or the lender, and that doesn't seem to be working. I'll Amy can explain a little bit better on.
I did receive that. Thank you, Joe. I did receive this just today, actually this afternoon. I mean, we get down payment assistance applications. This is one considered outside of our traveling radius. I got, and so the policy that we have set up, if you're outside of our traveling radius, we have stipulated what we want pictures of. You know, that's a structure, foundation, HVAC, your hot water tank. Also, we charge either the realtor or the mortgage company with doing that inspection. So the pictures that I got back today are very questionable. One, I brought a picture of the hot water tank. It's actually sitting on carpet. Their hot water tank is on carpet. It's not properly vented, either for the relief valve down here or out to the exterior of the home. So, and the realtor, I will say, was not very happy that she was having to do that at all. Of course, I know, how bad do you want to sell a house? So if you want to sell the house, and that's this down payment assistance is going to help, that's what you're going to have to do. However, the construction manager and I reviewed, because there were several pictures, enough to the point, and the inspection form that she returned to me, well, it passed everything. Absolutely everything was passed on her inspection that she did. So, but based on the pictures, I've made the determination that I'm going to put that inspector in a truck next week, and he's going to go visually look at that home. Now, albeit it's not to the other side of the state, but I can put an inspector in a truck next week, and he's going to go visually look at that property. She's young. She's a first-time home buyer. She's young. She qualifies. I want to make sure that she's not buying a money pit and that we expend those tribal dollars responsibly, that we're a good steward with those dollars, that there's not fraud. Do I believe that everyone is entitled to those? Yeah, sure I do, but I also believe that as nation employees and as a Osage tribal member, I should do my due diligence to make sure there's no fraud. Because if we say it's $3,500 to some people, that may not be a lot, but it's to us in housing when we have budgets cut and stuff. So that's my big thing, and that I shared with Congresswoman Edwards is that not just getting the assistance so you can get in a house, but get in a good house that then you're able to maintain, and that it's not the next week this has happened, the next week, and then they're calling us saying, I can't even live in this house. And so that is my, I guess, my moral compass coming up, is that I feel charged with trying to help these first-time home buyers make a good decision. We don't feel good about those pictures. So I can put a guy in a truck next week, and he's going to drive there. So that is my concern. We do need to see how we can hammer that out, maybe perfect that.
Did you say the realtor did the inspection or an inspector did the inspection?
No, if they're outside of our traveling radius, currently in our policy and procedure, either a representative of the mortgage company or the realtor is charged with submitting that and submitting the pictures. Now, that's what we came up with. If that is not feasible to everyone, then when I did listen, that's where the administrative costs that Mr. Johnson talked about yesterday, because then we're talking about finding, you know, wherever that is for our service area nationwide, we're finding an independent representative and we're paying them.
Right.
A certified inspector.
A certified inspector, which on the average, on the high side, it's anywhere from $378 to $400. I mean, we're talking, that's a lot to us. That's a couple of doors on rehab, so for me. So that's a lot of money for me when we're trying to rehab someone's house.
Can I see that?
So, you know, I...
So we might want to consider
that is increasing. That is yesterday when Mr. Johnson, Director of Operations Johnson, brought up the additional administrative costs. I believe that's what he was speaking about, was if no one, because today I don't feel comfortable with the realtor or the mortgage company representative doing that. Not when I, here again though, this is only the second one outside of our traveling radius. When I get back a sheet that looks like this is the perfect home you would ever want to live in, but not by the pictures. We're looking for some lead-based paint as well. She is a young woman. I'm sure there'll be children to come at some point. You don't want lead-based paint in your home. Definitely a hot water tank on sitting on carpet.
Change that.
Or not properly vented.
Yeah, we just want to see if we can try to work out any kinks we may have on this expansion that we have right now, because we just still don't quite know what we're up against.
To each applicant.
You know, we also have our policy that we will wire the funds to the lender, and we're hoping that there would be no fraud involved in any of that, but you know, that's still not a known factor, too.
I did research a little bit today about wiring fraud, and we've actually done one wire transfer, and it did go okay. And then we got, you know, confirmation so that I could put it in the file and show. They actually have more of a problem. Sometimes they're like, so how are you bringing the money? Because we actually get a check, we go down and convert it, and then I go to the closing. So I'm handing someone that check. I'm getting a receipt that day for that. They're showing me, you know. And so I do agree, though, that we do not know the extent of that. I hope we don't have to encounter and figure that out, but we'll be realistic as well. And so that was a step for us this year. Like I said, we've done one. I think to prevent a bad mark on that program, I think that we need a little more time to perfect that and see what we can do. You know, the real test will come when we drive to the borders of our state, when I have to put someone in a truck. But I can still do that. I can't put Kenny Winery or Lance Tonita in a truck and tell them to go to Alaska. I guess I could. I don't think our housing truck will make it. But, you know, I don't know. We have the Suburban, so.
Yeah, and then a couple other factors that we haven't even discussed yet is new construction and manufactured homes. Now, we haven't excluded any of those on our current policies. We have handled a couple of down payment assistance for a manufactured home in the past. So far, those went all right, but you know, there's a large fraud factor, you know, in that business.
In manufactured housing, is that what you're referring to?
And a big part of that is the actual financing. And it says in our policies and procedures that it has to be reasonable. And sometimes those, I don't want to single one out there in Tulsa, but people will call me about that. Currently, we can do that, but I tell them it does have to be a reasonable finance rate. A lot of times those are not. It's not the standard, whatever, you know, the government has set. It's accelerated through the ceiling. And so today, in the last 3 years, I haven't done a down payment assistance. I've had several inquiries, but I do educate them on that. Just, okay, when you go look, but remember the terms have to be reasonable. And I've never had someone actually come back to me and say, yep, that's what I'm going to do. It's because those are unreasonable terms. And you know what we're talking about? I mean, Oh, okay. This is a $85,000, but at the end of your, you're paying $400,000 and never pay it off.
With the manufactured housing. Vice Chair, Congressman Edwards. I mean, Congressman Potts.
I have an amendment. Page 2, line 89, strike 5% and insert 10%.
Second.
Any discussion to the motion?
Can I have it?
Speaker Walker?
I had to step out. I'd like to hear the amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
It's page 2, line 89, strike 5% and insert 10%.
Right here. Any more discussion on the motion? All those in favor say yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Okay. So Mr. Freeman brought up the point of manufactured homes, and I think he said something, new construction?
New construction.
Are you currently servicing that with down payment assistance?
With our tribal aunt. When I listen to session, I know how important it is these microphones are now.
I know. We're learning. It's the price is right. Make sure you get your
Andrea
your price
had
heard.
Said that, and I was like, that is, I'm coming on down. We have on our tribal dollar program, we have done building. Now, we have done one down payment assistance. The things that you had to provide that differed were you had to have enter into a contract with a licensed contractor. The contract had to clearly state what they were going to get. It had to have a start date. It had to have an end date. And this was the part that it did work out. They also, you had to have a closing at a bank or a title company. You have to have a closing at a bank or a title company for us because we're not going to cut a check to just an individual. It does have to be an entity, either a bank or a title company.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
So don't they have to close on existing homes? They don't have to close on existing homes at a bank or title company?
Yes, you do.
They do.
Yes.
Right. So to me, the wire thing is taken care of because you're wiring to a bank or a title company. I mean, the chances of fraud are lessened when you do that. Although Eli wants some money back from his title company right now. Move to report ONCA 1912 to the Congress with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion to the motion? Congresswoman Pratt.
No, never mind. I had a question before she made her motion. So. No, I don't. I'll have to see what happens.
Well, I want to discuss on the motion. I do support this program advancing to be a nationwide program and funding it to where Osages can tap into it. But I also support the success of the people who administrate the programs. And I see them advancing the program to see what they can do to cover homes outside the reservation area. I understand that that the obstacles aren't impossible to surpass, but I also understand we want to set everybody up for success. The new home buyers, the program. I think that by visiting this legislation that our housing department is kind of put on notice that
we're looking forward to you expanding this, and I think you're doing a good job. I don't know at this time that since I've heard from the people who administrate, I think a lot of times as legislators we need to listen to those people. I have mixed emotions about this because I do believe that the Osage dollars should serve all Osage people, but I also want to do it successfully. So I'm not sure how I'm going to vote on this right now. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I understand, you know, that they haven't done it before, so it's different. But I listen to them and listen to how they're administering the program now, and I have full confidence in them that they can figure this out, because the two things that I heard them be concerned about, you know, I've bought and sold probably 15 residences in my day, and I know that once you start getting the hang of it, you realize that it's all a process, and I know you guys know that, but I think that the two concerns that you raised, one about wiring money, I don't really have any concern about that because the Treasury Department is now wires money all the time. So that's not really a concern. And I don't think it should be for you. I know you just probably did it for the first time, but it works. And then the second thing, the inspection, I believe we addressed that by raising the amount of the inspection dollars so that if you want to require a certified inspector of the home, which is a good idea, you can do that. If you want to require a video, you can do that. And if you want to tell them, the prospective home buyer, that you know what they send it isn't sufficient and they need to go back and do better, then you can do that too. And I think that, as evidenced by what you just said, that a realtor sent in pictures and they indicated that the house is not up to code. And I believe that it's proper for you to say you either have to bring the buyer or the seller either has to bring that house up to code, which is usually what happens when you find that there's a problem with code. And you know, I know that the buyer might be disappointed at this point, but you would think that the seller would then, they're not going to be able to sell it to somebody. I wouldn't think they'd be able to sell it to someone else that's going to have to get a mortgage unless they fix it. So you're doing a service for the buyers, and I believe that you can do that for someone who is in Oklahoma City or in Wichita or, you know, Kansas City, the same way you're doing it now. I just think it's going to be, you're just not going to be quite as hands-on, and as I indicated to you, shoot, lots of times things are missed, and that's, as long as it's not critical to the purchase of, you know, code, then you know, you get to fix some stuff yourself that you didn't realize that you were going to have to fix. But that's the nature of the inspection beast. So I'm confident, and I appreciate that these people are being very careful, but to me the alternative is to put the program on hold, because I don't really think that our Constitution allows for us to create a program out of tribal dollars that only benefits a small portion of the people based on only on their geographic residence. And so I think it needs to be open to all Osages that can qualify for it. And I think that the 6 month time frame, I mean, if they come back in September and they say, well, we might need 3 more months, I mean, we could change the effective date if that's the case in September. But I feel like you guys can get it done.
I do have a question. So how deep are the pockets for this fund?
As far as I'm concerned, they're pretty deep. When it comes to direct assistance to the people, that's a priority of mine. And I don't think there's enough money in it right now myself. I think it needs more money. Now, I guess there again, I haven't defined pretty deep, but I think it's deeper than what we have right now. I mean, I want us to be able to serve I would say 50 to 100 people a year, if that's, if we see that that's a need and a want. Now, if it doesn't amount to that, then it doesn't amount to that. But we put $150,000 into a program for 2 years that served, and it went out pretty quick. So I would anticipate that we would be able to put $150,000 into it.
Okay. Well, thank you for the confidence and everything. I just felt like we just didn't have enough experience in this just yet to deliver a successful program on this just yet. That was my main concern.
Well, to me, for my part, if you come back in September, having had 4 months, 5 months to get your rules and regulations in place, to work through what you see as issues, to satisfy yourself that, okay, we know how to wire money, okay, we know how to get an inspector, because those are the two things I heard you say. If you come back and say, we haven't yet, despite our best due diligence, we haven't figured out how to do that, then we could move the effective date back. But I feel like you're going to be able to do it because people buy real estate across the country from a different locale all the time, and I think you're going to be able to do it.
My question is how much funding do you have for down payment assistance currently? Is that fund tapped out right now?
Zero.
Right. So I don't know. You allude to perfecting it between now and then, but they can't service any applicants to.
But our NAHASDA programs, we do have our two tiers of NAHASDA. They have went statewide as well, and so, I mean, we potentially have the opportunity to work because those two tiers of NAHASDA that we spoke about have went statewide as well. Possibly.
Okay, and then I have one more question, and we'll vote on this. So currently in this legislation requires you to put rules and regulations together. The only rules and regulations I'm aware of is what happens under the National Gaming, the Gaming Act, that they have regulations. They're a regulatory body. I recall us, our E&R department, passing regulations for fishing and hunting. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever built or passed your regulations through the Tribal Administrative Procedures Act of our tribal, our own tribal programs?
No, just, other than just having a housing code, is that what you're referring to?
I haven't done it myself, Mr. Freeman, but I know that rules and regulations have a process that you get your regulations together, you put them out on a website, you advertise them for 30 days for comment. And in my mind, that's what's, with that language in the law, that's what's going to have to take place. Is that correct, Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes, the election board has done rules and regulations, and I would assume that the Attorney General's office is going to be available to help them quite a bit.
Okay. Does this bill reference the Administrative Procedures Act?
I believe so.
Okay. So, because I'm not aware that I think the rules and regulations of through the code are approved by Congress, by resolution of Congress. So it's a different process that I don't believe that many of our programs have utilized before. I'm still looking for the success of this. And so...
Okay, so I guess the answer to your question is no then.
Okay. and that's just... I may have it wrong, but I'm pretty... That's what E&R did when they passed their rules and regulations. I support that. It's just a different process. And yeah, you do have the Attorney General to help you with that.
And I'd be happy to help them, but I'll probably be told to stay in my lane.
Yes. Any more discussion before the vote? Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Are there any opposed? Oh, I hate this. Yes. You actually didn't even have to vote.
That's true.
I didn't have to.
Mm-mm, but you did.
I did.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you very much for putting in the effort. And if it makes it out, I will be happy to help you in any way I can.
Okay. Thank you.
You've got my phone number. I'll go out on inspections with you.
Thank you. You all have a good day.
Thank you so much. All right. Next item on the agenda is consideration of 1921, an act to appropriate $83,076 to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund for wildland fire equipment purchase and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, you have the floor to give us an overview of your bill.
I would like to postpone this until tomorrow when I stated that Mr. Walker would like to be here to discuss it.
Do you want to provide us any overview or?
No, I don't.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion to postpone.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Congressman Potts. All those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes, without objection, it's postponed. Okay. Next item on the agenda, going back, is consideration of ONCA 1863, an act to amend the Open Records Act of 15 ONC, section 8102 and 8103, to include text messages and electronic mail sent on devices owned by the Osage Nation or accounts operated by the Osage Nation as public records, and to establish an alternate effective date. I'm the sponsor. I'll yield again to Congresswoman Whitehorn.
You have the floor, Congresswoman Edwards. Let's pull that bill up on the screen.
Well, it's back to the amendments that different members wanted to make.
Seven, seven, seven. Is it up there? Oh, yes, right there. It's. There we go. Got it. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 6, line 232 and 233, strike on a device owned by the Osage Nation by an Osage Nation government entity, comma, or.
Second.
Any discussion to the amendment? I'm still looking for it. Page 6, what?
It's page 6, line 232 and 233.
Strike
on a device owned by an Osage Nation government entity, comma, or. So the language in the bill would read, electronic mail sent through an account administered by an Osage Nation government entity.
Any discussion to the motion, to the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment say yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Congressman Potts.
So that's recorded as everybody yay. Nobody says no, right? Okay.
Page 6, I have another amendment. Page 6, line 231. It's an amendment. I'll just read it. Insert number 23, text messages or instant messaging service messages sent by mobile telecommunication devices owned by an Osage Nation government entity.
Second.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Previous amendment that I authored deleted 23, which would be text messages sent by mobile telecommunication devices owned or paid for by an Osage Nation government entity. This amendment reinserts text messages or instant messaging service messages, which would include, in my mind, iMessaging, Microsoft Link messaging, any instant messaging service, message sent by a mobile telecommunication device owned by an Osage Nation government entity. So that means if my phone, my mobile telecommunication device, is paid for by the nation, and I text, iMessage, any instant messaging service, that is a public record.
Any more discussion to the motion? All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Madam Chair, page 3, line 123. So, current law reads that, sorry, I'll make the amendment first.
Yes.
Page 3, line 123, insert 10, text messages or instant messaging service messages sent by mobile telecommunication devices paid for in part by an Osage Nation government entity.
Second.
We're going to lose our quorum. We're in recess.